Hey, everyone, this is Nick. Thanks for joining us for the Circuit Riders podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions community here in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. This is a podcast from our summer leadership training school. Hope you enjoy.
So we want to talk, I want to introduce this first section by talking about culture. Everyone say culture.
Culture.
Everyone say culture.
Culture.
Everywhere we walk, you walk into a culture. How many times have you walked into a party? It can be a good party, doesn't always be a bad party, right? How many know there's Holy Ghost parties out there, right? How many of you walked into a party and it was just so sad in there? How many of you walked into an awkward moment? How many of you almost can feel awkwardness literally in the air, like fog sometimes? How many of you have been on a date and it got so awkward, a literal fog was there and you could no longer see your other date? It was so bad. Lord, there's no track for that. I'm sorry. You're on your own. Keep praying. Keep praying. Right? Isn't it weird that we can intangibly feel culture? How many of you go to say something on social media, but you already start editing what you're going to say because you don't want the clapbacks? Right? Isn't it crazy, right, that everywhere you walk, you can feel this intangible pressure shaping you into having certain values, talking in a certain way, living a certain way, living a certain lifestyle, caring about certain things, having a certain mission in your life. How many of you can relate to this idea? How many of you have ever been to a university, you've been to school, you live in a city where you have a very strong culture in your city? How many of you have a really strong culture in your family? Like there are traditions you don't mess with. And everybody who comes to your house gets inducted into that culture. I had a friend and their mom was really big about taking their shoes off. Right? I just roll with the shoes on. But they're like, put it by the door neatly to the side, right? Don't just kick them off. It's take them off and place them neatly right there, right? Walk around with the socks. Some people are so intense, they got those like construction things. Just put those over your feet to keep the house dialed in. Right, there are certain things, right, that where you go, you learn, like, oh, okay, I always take my shoes off here. Or maybe you go to someone else's house, and it's just always loud. How many of you are from the loud family? That everybody talks loud. How many of you, the funny part of a loud family is that loud families accuse each other of who's the loudest, but everyone's the loudest. It just depends on the moment. How many of you, like, story time at your house is like four people telling a story at one time, and it just keeps getting louder and louder and louder until a story prevails? Right? How many of you are from a family where it's really no one listens, you just wait to talk? It's just like a waiting, it's a waiting room, right? Like, you're like, that's good, but let me tell you when I did what. How many of you have been around a culture like that? Culture, right? It's this intangible feeling. And how many of you have been somewhere where someone with so much joy comes walking in, their joy is so contagious, everyone gets stoked? Yeah. Right? How many of you have been in an awkward environment and someone just breaks the ice in the room and everybody becomes friends? Yeah. Right? So there's this ability that we have as humans to create and shift culture. Yeah. And the truth about Christianity and living in America is one of two things. You're either being formed by American culture, or you're being formed by the culture of Jesus. Wow. And you're either shifting culture or your culture is getting shifted. Wow. One of the things I've learned about following Jesus is not a neutral sport. Yes. Wow. So there's no such thing as just like saving the game in video games. I just kind of, I'm on level 5. I'm just going to chill here for a while. I'm going to go take a break. Something about either you're moving forward with spiritual violence, not hurting people, but I'm talking about with great intention in your heart, or usually over time, your environment begins to shape you and dull you. How many of you have been, were on fire for God, kind of took it easy, took a step back for living in that fire, and all of a sudden found yourself in a pattern of sin you couldn't believe how you got there? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hands. All right. Right? It's because you weren't just staying where you were, you're being dulled. Right? Every day, if you scroll through TikTok, it's so easy to get dulled. Right? It's so easy to start normalizing everything that happens in America. I love what Francis Chan, he did this crazy analogy at the Sen in Kansas City. How many watch the Sen in Kansas City? And he talked about the world in purity, and he had someone stand all the way over here. Here's God's standard. And then here is like the church's standard. And then here is like the world's standard. And over and over and over again, the enemy pushes the envelope of purity. And then the church kind of stands in between God's standard and the world's standard, trying to be relevant. And the world pushes a little bit more worldliness. And then we move over a little bit like, yo, we'll just try to bridge the gap here. And then we get over here, we try to bridge the gap here. Then we try to get over here, we bridge the gap here, right? This is how we get into moments in America where we have to even have a conversation in the church. Like, don't watch Game of Thrones. Like, why do we have to even have that conversation? We don't need, right? Hey, witchcraft is not good. Don't do it. Don't do witchcraft. We're like, well, you know, there's good witches out there and he has a good heart. And no, there's not. No, no. Everything about it is wrong. No, there's not. Don't do it. Don't do it, right? We there's all these little things and all of a sudden we just start living this kind of fake lie about Christianity where we hold God's values and we certainly love his love. We're super about it. Like, I love his love. But we start making all these moral compromises and we really live a lukewarm, compromised, mixture-filled Christianity. And we're wondering why there's no power in our life and there's no joy in our life and there's no purpose and we don't see any miracles and nobody gets saved and we're always bored and we hate going to church and we hate going to the Word and we never feel his presence. It's because we're nowhere near following Jesus of the Scripture. We've made up our own Jesus and we're following that, but there's no fruit because you're not really following Christ. Are you tracking with me? And so Jesus, when he calls you to follow him, he's not asking for your opinion. He's not asking for your thoughts. He's not asking, there is no negotiation. He just says, follow me. It's an instruction. Follow me. Leave what you're doing and follow me. It's what he says to Peter. Leave your fishing job and I'll teach you how to fish for men. I'll learn how to teach you to be an evangelist. I'll teach you how to live missionally. I'll teach you about your real purpose. Follow me. And so all of us, we have that invitation. The thing about Jesus in Scripture is he had no problem if you said no. There is never an instance in Scripture where someone says the cost is too much, I don't want to follow, where Jesus runs after them and tries to convince them. Jesus knows his worth. He knows he's God. He is pursuing you. But I'm telling you, when it comes to following and becoming a leader, it's a yes or no offer. It's all in or all out. And anything in between that you think there's something in between, there is no in between. And you're slowly just taking a longer roundabout way to destruction. It's like kind of like your boat is always leaking water, so it's not sunk, but you live your whole life bailing it out. That's like the compromised life. Is you're like, well, at least I'm not sunk, but you're just there, just, man. Oh, and then you go to church, the breakthrough's coming, you're suffering, your storms, you keep believing, keep praying, keep going. No, you just have compromise in your life. Because the Bible promises suffering. It does. It promises suffering. But a lot of that suffering has to do with persecution for following Jesus. So a lot of the inner turmoil and inner torment is not what is not suffering in the Scriptures.
Yeah.
That's just you need freedom.
Yeah.
And you have open doors in your life. And you got false agreements in your life with the enemy. And you got Jesus here, but it's like you got a side lady or a side guy, the world, and you're running from Jesus over there, running Jesus from over there, running Jesus, and it just doesn't work. Right? How many of you, don't raise your hand, you've either witnessed or maybe you've done it, I hope you haven't done it, but surely you've witnessed it, or at least you witnessed it on TV, that maybe a guy can have a girl on the side for a while, but eventually it comes out. And when it comes out, everything comes crashing down. That's what happens when we have a lackadaisical, neutral environment with the world, is that eventually those two worlds collide. The Bible says that you can only have one master. One of those days, either Jesus will capture your heart or the world will end up pulling you away. Yeah. Right? So much of what deconstruction today is, some of it is legitimate doubts that they need to, and they need to learn the wrestling through it. A lot of it is offense. And a lot of it, if you look into their life, they have been entertaining worldliness for so long that they become deceived. Why am I being so direct? It's because it's leadership training. I want to help you. And so when Jesus is calling you to follow him, he's calling you to follow in his culture and to live in the way that he's asked you to live. Not just believe in the things that he believes. Listen to me. Live in the ways that he has called and asked us to live. Meaning that there is a lifestyle change in all of our hearts. There's a lifestyle change in all of our hearts. And the amazing thing about God's lifestyle, it can be expressed in every culture. Isn't that amazing? But just because we come from a strong culture doesn't mean it's Jesus. Like, there are some things that I grew up with that are not Jesus. And I was proud of those things. Like, I was stoked on those things. I would brag about those things. But Jesus had to lovingly say, hey, I love that you're proud of that and you love your family, but that's not my kingdom. This is good. Keep that, but leave that. And so over these next 10 days, in these morning moments, there's going to be things that Jesus is going to go, hey, I need that now. You can't keep carrying that around. It's not gray. Don't say I'm working on it. Run from it. Run from it. Run from it. Right? Some of us, we've been working on the breakthrough for 10 years, but you just need to leave that thing and get breakthrough in 10 minutes by making a decision for your life. A decision. Everyone say a decision. So the first culture I want to look at this morning, and I think that all cultures are built around this in God's kingdom. It's the culture of faith. Look at your neighbor and say, do you have faith? Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So it is impossible to please God with faith. Reinhard Bonnke says it like this, faith is the currency of heaven. Meaning everything, every way that God is going to talk to you, everything he's going to ask you to do, everything that has your purpose intertwined with it, he's going to talk to you with faith. It's going to require faith. It's going to agitate your unbelief. It's going to push you to more faith. God looks at things differently than we see things. And faith is at the core of pretty much every aspect of our Christian life. Can we keep going here? Without faith, there can be no salvation. Without faith, you cannot stand victoriously in spiritual warfare. Some of you, seriously, some of you are going to get answered to prayer as soon as you just pray with faith. But your prayer is more of a wish and a hope. But if you stand in faith, God's going to bring a breakthrough even during this school. We cannot worship God wholeheartedly without faith. We cannot know the blessings of answered prayer. We cannot even profit from the word of God. How many have had a boring time in the scriptures? Could it be because we lack faith? I wonder how much more exciting this word is than when we approach it with faith. We cannot set the captives free, meaning we cannot see deliverance. We cannot see people get free. How many of you are tired of praying for your friend unto no breakthrough? How many are tired of being a spiritual ibuprofen of temporary relief, and you're ready for your friends to get radically free? You need faith. We cannot, God's promise of healing is made void to us. Supernatural healing is worth contending for. Can I tell you that? My dad died of an autoimmune disease. My mom was healed of Lyme's disease. Both were absolutely debilitating. I live, my very life is a mystery in the art of healing. I do not understand it. I had faith praying for both. God healed one and did not heal the other. To make it even more mysterious, Bill Johnson is the one who prayed for my mom and she was healed. Yeah. Bill Johnson just prayed for his wife and she passed away from cancer. There's a great mystery, but yet we need to walk in faith for healing and live in the mystery. Can we keep going? We cannot enter into God's rest. How many of you have anxiety all the time plaguing you? I would like to push you a little bit and say your anxiety may be directly characterized by your unbelief in your life. How many have gone on a vacation and did not even rest? How many have tried to Sabbath and you had no Sabbath? How many of you tried to take a nap and you got more stressed than before? It's because you need faith. Faith is actually connected to rest. You cannot inherit the promises of God. You will not walk into your inheritance. You will not walk into your calling because you won't even believe the thing that God told you he's going to give you. Right. You cannot operate in the gifts of the Spirit. The gasoline of the gifts of the spirits is faith. The fuel of the gift of the spirits, of the gift of the Spirit is faith. So let's define some terms. What is faith? Faith is saying, this is all in your culture shift manual. So this is all, you have it in your notes, but you can write it down as well. Faith is saying to God, I trust you. I implicitly trust you. Faith is taking God at his word. Faith is not being moved by circumstances, feelings, or opinion. Faith believes God and God alone. Faith gets out of the boat and does not sink because faith does not look at the winds and the waves of life. Faith stays focused on Jesus and says, I trust your word. It is absolutely true. Unbelief makes up its own mind about what God can and can't do, what he will or won't do, and how he does or doesn't operate. How many of you have met that person, the spiritual expert who knows about everything, the discerner? The discerner, just discerning everything all the time. You know, I don't think you're more in a season of preparation right now. Listen, dude, you may be in a season of preparation, but so were the disciples, and they were seeing demons delivered. They were seeing the sick healed. They were seeing people decide to follow Jesus. They were in the midst of a lot of action. See, there's this deception in America, in our form of Christianity, that you have to wait to some point on the map where you are somehow spiritually mature enough integrity to do something for God. But how are you supposed to learn anything if you don't do anything? Right? How are you actually supposed to develop real character? How are you supposed to get really tests? How are you supposed to learn about yourself? How are you supposed to learn about your gifts if you're not practically putting it into practice right away? I love that Jesus said, follow me, and very shortly after, he's throwing them into the deep end. Everything that Jesus wants to do in your life, because you're in a training school, but did you know that you've been in God's training school for a while? And if you realize that, your life will make a lot more sense. Why is my life so hard, God? Because you've been in the gym. You're in the gym, and you didn't know you had a trainer. And he's been training you since you were 5 years old, because he formed you in your womb, in your mother's womb, and knew who you would be, and set the times and boundaries in which you would live on the earth. And already decided the gifts and callings of God that he will put on you. He already knows the people by name you will influence, and he is getting ready for the day he says, it's go time. It's go time. And you're like, God, my life, oh man, and bitterness distracting, all these things distracting. You got to get rid of that and realize God is leading your life, preparing you to join into his mission, faith. When you look at your past with faith, it's so much more fun. When you look at your present with faith, your life makes sense. If you have chronic confusion, there's a number of reasons that could be, but one of them could be a lack of faith. How many of you are in a dry season? How can you be living in a dry season when the Holy Spirit lives inside of you? I wonder if you just lack faith. I wonder if you just lack faith and God wants to rip out unbelief. Unbelief finds its own methods for accomplishing God's business, both personally and corporately. Man, how true is that of us? So true of me. I want to do what God wants me to do, but I want to do it in a way I can control. I want to do it in a way that I can plan and like minimize and mitigate the risks. But God just says, no, I just need you to follow me and I need you to obey. Unbelief looks inward instead of upward. As Jim Cimbala writes in Fresh Faith, unbelief talks to itself instead of talking to God. Literally, has this ever happened to you? God literally gives you instructions and you stop talking to God. Prayer ends and you start having an inner conversation with yourself about it. Hey, I want you to go and you're going to be a missionary in the future. Man, I don't know how I'm going to pay for that. I don't know what's going on. Maybe if I get a job, maybe Chick-fil-A at part-time, Uber at night. And then maybe my church, well, I don't know, and they don't like giving it to me. They don't like me because I only go once a month. But man, that one elder likes me. And God's like, hey, I didn't even finish my conversation with you. Keep talking to me. This isn't your deal. This is my deal. I already planned out how you're going to get there. Why don't you keep talking with me? I'm informing you about your future. Not asking you to figure it out right now. Don't you love God? Even though it may be deeply hidden, unbelief never goes unseen or unnoticed. The scriptures make it clear that great faith moves the heart of God. Large faith believes God and acts accordingly. Large faith renders nothing impossible with God and has the potential to move mountains, Jesus said. Without it, as we are reminded in Hebrews 11:6, it is absolutely impossible to please God. Unbelief fears. God doesn't, God can't, God won't. Faith believes. God does, God can, God will. Everyone say, God does.
God does.
God can.
God
God will.
God will.
God does.
God does.
God can.
God can.
God will.
God will.
What if the first thought in your mind when God told you something was this phrase came to your mind? God does. God can. God will. Literally, he says, hey, you're going to be this. And you go, oh, God. God does. God can. God will. Some of us literally live bracing for the next horrible thing to happen in our life. Some of us live dreading our future because we think that we already had our best moment. And we live from surprise to surprise of something positive happening. We cannot live in this way. We cannot live in this way. I bet you if I made you write down all the people who have hurt you, I bet some of you, the top in here, maybe you get to 20, but I bet most of you get 1 to 5 people. We cannot let the negative experiences with 1 to 5 people on one hand define the rest of our life.
Yeah.
We cannot let a few people and a few groups of people that probably were in deeply pain, filled with ignorance, potentially rebellion, potentially had the enemy speaking through them, targeting you. Let's talk real for a moment. Literally targeting you to take you out. We can't let a small group of people now decide that the future is full of doom and everything is going to be so bad. We got to take our future back in faith. In faith, because God can and God does and God will. What about your friendships? God, our friends, I'm going to be accepted. What if you looked at it with faith? God, you want to provide friends with me that understand me and know me. What about future job and your finances? God, you want to actually lead me to a place where I'm thriving and can provide for my family. Lord, you want to answer every single one of my needs. You provide for the lilies, Lord. Lord, forgive me. I'm getting rid of the wealth mindset. I'm just getting into just your provision mindset that you're going to bring me into everything I need. And Lord, sometimes you're going to actually cut off my finances to move me into a new direction that will require new faith. I wonder if sometimes you're at a dead end because you're at a dead end for that level of faith. But if you got a little bit more faith, God's saying, hey, you're not supposed to work there anymore. I love Office Mart. That's great. God, praise the paper. I need it. I need paper all the time. But what if God's saying, hey, I'm calling you to a Fortune 500 company? What if I'm calling you to be a media storyteller? What if I'm calling you to the ministry? What if I'm calling you to be a pastor? And I'm cutting off your unbelief. I'm drying it up, so I'm forcing you into faith. See, faith changes everything. Faith is so exciting because God's always speaking. Not just speaking through prophetic encounter. He's speaking through your circumstances. He's speaking through other people. He's speaking through messages. He's speaking through podcasts. He's speaking through music. All of a sudden, you start living that God is speaking everywhere. You can barely keep up because what is God doing? Well, my faith changes everything. Look at your neighbor and say, you got more faith yet? You do. I can sense it. Right? Because this is what's so interesting, right? Is unbelief. Unbelief. Check this out. Unbelief is more dangerous than you realize. We celebrate doubt in America. And you know what? Healthy doubt happens. But all the doubt I get is a doubt that I am dramatically wrestling forward out of. I am uncomfortable living in too much doubt. Right? I don't want to be Thomas poking the holes. Right? We like America, we're like, prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it. I want to be an actual friend of God.
Yeah.
Right? Imagine if every time we met, we went to Starbucks, and I'm like, hey, I have this passion on my heart, and you're like, prove it.
Wow.
I'm like, hey man, I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna ask Emily, I'm gonna start going on dates with her. Prove it. Man, I'm in love with Emily now. This is amazing, we're gonna get married. Prove it. Hey, I'm gonna have a great future. Prove it. But that's so much of our inner heart. God's speaking to us and we're saying, prove it. He's going, I'm looking for someone who has faith, who I can be myself with.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Who can suspend their finite implicational mind to listen to the God of the universe. I want to tell a friend what I'm about to do. I want to tell you what I'm about to do in your life. See, so much of us, we get confused. We think that we're supposed to do everything that God's telling us to do. And we are, but you're not you are supposed to do it. You're supposed to do it with God.
Yeah.
God is not going to tell you things that you can do. Have you figured it out yet? He's not going to give you assignments that you're like, under control. Got it. Transform the region. Boom, done. Boom, done. Swagging out, Instagram, yo, preaching influencer for God. All day, all night, let's get it, let's get it, let's get it. Spent 6 hours in the Word this morning. Woke up, walked outside, beaming lights, 40 guys got saved, went back in, started a fast. You know, like that's not, no one lives this way. This is not possible. This is not how it works. God is going to give you an impossible assignment that you cannot do without Him. Wow. And He gives you that assignment so that you have to need Him. Because check this out, the biggest thing God wants from you is friendship. In relationship, even your assignment is designed to build you into a greater relationship with Him. He literally has figured out a job description where you have to go to His office every day and ask for help. Some of us hate asking for help. How many of you hate asking for help? How many of you hate asking other people for help? Guarantee that's a reflection of your relationship with God. Usually our relationships with others is a direct relationship of how we treat God. Right? You only ask God for help when it's at your worst moment. You have nowhere else to turn. I bet it's the same thing. Like you're moving all your stuff out of your apartment. You're that guy trying to move the couch by yourself. Drag it down the stairs. DIY and making your own stuff versus just calling two friends and saying, I'm broke, I can't pay you, I'm cashing on every late night phone call, please carry my couch with me downstairs. But in the same way, you got to get used to needing God.
Yeah, that's so good.
You got to get used to dependence. You got to get used to asking for help. This is how God's kingdom operates. Now it's amazing. We look at the testimony of what happens with the Israelites in the wilderness. In Numbers, hold on here. I'm missing my notes right now. I'm going to give you the chapter so you can go back and read it. Is it Numbers 13? I don't know why it's not in my notes. Michael, do you know what it is?
Which one are you going for?
In the wilderness. I don't know where I put it. Numbers. Yeah. Is it Numbers 13? Yeah, I think I have it right. So Numbers 13, right? They send out spies from each of the tribes of Israel into the promised land. So here they are. You got to imagine this. Can you imagine your church saw literal plagues touch down a whole city and humble the local government? This is what happened in Egypt. So literal plagues from heaven that a prophetic person is announcing, and then they come literally right after he says it. So like he goes, the river's going to turn to blood, and the river turns to blood, and that was your Sunday service. Can you imagine that? Your pastor's like, dude, the local government in Frisco needs to bow down to Jesus. They are operating in justice, so I'm going to go over the local river. Boom, it turns to blood. You'd be like, holy smokes. And it doesn't just happen once. It keeps happening. Well, this isn't just a local town. This is the most complex military power in the ancient world. And they are humbled before God because of the miracles that the people of God are seeing. Then they leave with a bunch of resources, so God brings provision. So the next Sunday service is not this God just deliver you from a advanced military power with no weapons and no war. He then gives you a bunch of provision that they stole from you. You get a bunch of restitution. You're walking out with livestock and gold and all kinds of things, and you're cruising out into the wilderness. Oh, but here they come. The Egyptians are mad. Then they're coming to face you off. You think you're going to die right there. You're just like saying goodbye to your kids. Like, I love you, buddy. I love you, buddy. It's been a real time. It's been a few exciting Sunday services. It's been a great sermon series. But then your leader, you look over there. He's having some kind of conversation by the sea. He's lifting up his staff. He's throwing it in the sea. And literally the sea begins to part, a walls of water on both sides. And he's like, and you're like, yo, we're walking through the sea. You're walking through the sea into the wilderness. Now you're out in the wilderness. And you're like, oh my word, there's no food out here. It's a desert. All of a sudden, food literally starts falling from the sky. You wake up in the morning, walk out, food is on the ground. This is your day. Then your leader's going up the mountaintop. There's lightning. There's smoke. There's glory. He's having a conversation with God. It's super scary. Can you imagine like just being in your tent? And all of a sudden hearing a crack of lightning and looking up on the mountain, it's just like smoke and turmoil up there. And your pastor's up there just chilling. He's just dealing with God up in the mountain of smoke. Like, how afraid of your pastor would you be? Right? You listen a little. You take some serious notes, right? And then they come down. He comes down the mountain and Moses' face is shining with literal glory. Literal glory is radiating from his face like a bright flashlight is coming off of his face, and people are scared to death. And then We can't even get into all the different things they see. The point being is miracle after miracle, provision after provision, right? Glory is literally filling the tabernacle in the wilderness. They're seeing a pillar of fire by night guiding them in the wilderness. Can you imagine going outside tonight? Lily, and we're going to go to Whataburger. And there is a fiery pillar guiding us over to Whataburger instead of using your Google Maps. These are the people of Israel. And so they have seen God fulfill one promise after another, after another, after another. And they say, now go into the promised land and scout it out. 10 guys come back. And what do they say? It's a land flowing with milk and honey, but there's giants in there. We're going to get killed. Do not go in there. They stir tons of unbelief. And 2 guys have a good report, Joshua and Caleb, and say, surely we can go into the land and take these giants. Look what God has done. Let's run in there. But the report of the 10 people, their unbelief sway an entire nation into unbelief. And they miss their inheritance. They miss their inheritance. See, your report of faith is directly linked to your inheritance. Your report of faith is directly linked to your inheritance. Your report of faith is also linked to the inheritance of so many around you. Yeah. It's not just about you. It's about those around you. Yes. Right? Some people stand in front of the generation and go, this generation's lost. No one knows the Bible. They're biblically illiterate. Da, 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 da. All true. But do you think, is that the way God is looking at it? How is God looking at faith? I'm about to move like you've never seen before. I'm starting with a blank slate to teach them what it means to follow Jesus. To get rid of all these Americanized, crazy, consumeristic beliefs out of this generation so I can make them into a radical Jesus generation who's going to change the expression of Christianity in America in one generation around the world. Prepare them to be a billion soul harvest of people coming to know Jesus around the world. Right? This is faith. Faith just talks different. And what's interesting, though, about faith is that all those people, just because you saw miracles doesn't mean that you have faith.
Yeah.
They saw all those miracles and wouldn't believe. Because here's the deal. Why? It's because they watched Moses have faith. But then it was their turn to be like Moses and believe God. And they went in and they failed that test. See, it's not enough for you to be part of a faith-filled community. It's not enough to have a faith-filled friend. If you have a friend always stirring you up and catalyzing you, that's amazing. That's a gift. But can I tell you, you got to become that for you.
Yes.
You got to make a decision in your life that you're going to change your constitution from one of unbelief to faith. Yes. That when God says, it's yes and amen. When God says, it's yes and amen. And there's going to be pressure. There's going to be pressure. There's a pressure not to have faith. It's almost like if you have faith in America, you're a weirdo today. Andy Burgess came and shared with our community. He's like, the more that you believe this, it's almost like the more weird you are. Like, it's almost like, do you believe God created the world? Yes. You do? Yes. Wait, you really believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? Yes. You really believe that Jesus was actually physically killed? Yes. You believe that Jesus was physically rose from the grave? Yes. Wait, the miracles in the New Testament weren't just mythological, like examples of inner healing? No, they were real miracles. Wait, you believe in demons? Yes. You believe in angels? Yes. Does God speak today? Yes. And here's the problem. That's like the light stuff. That's like the Bible basics. That's the milk. That's not even how crazy I believe.
Yeah.
I got to tell you what God's going, that's what he's already done. I want to talk about what he's going to do.
Yes.
Literally, he's going to come back.
Yes.
Oh, you don't believe that, do you? Yes. No, literally. Jesus is actually going to come back to the earth.
Yes.
Jesus right now is fueling the church and making them ready to be a beautiful bride.
Yes.
Do you know right now, I read this crazy thing 2 days ago about all that Christianity has done in the last 200 to 300 years. It is crazy how quickly the gospel is spreading. They were talking about how every other ancient religion is slowly dying.
Amen.
But how Christianity is rapidly expanding. Amen. All over the earth. All over the earth right now. I was stunned when Andy Bird said this. I had heard it and I wanted someone to confirm it. That's kind of more in the missiologist zone. That one of the biggest moves of God right now is taking place in Iran.
Yeah.
In Iran. And we think he can't move in our inner city? Oh, it's too complex. We got to get a nuanced view. Everything's absolutely cool. No! I'm just wondering, maybe it's not complex.
Yeah.
Maybe it's pretty simple. Maybe just looking for someone to actually believe the word and do the word and live by the word with integrity. And it's going to be unbelievable the solutions that God pours out to seemingly complex things to us. But they're so simple to God. Faith. Faith. See, the unbelief of the Israelites, they have to go into the wilderness. God says, you don't get to enter the promised land. I'm going to wait till this whole generation dies off. And then I'll let the next generation go in. Listen, we got to look at our generation and not just go give it to whatever. Generation Alpha's coming next and just go, all right, guys, you'll see the revival. We're good. We got to be ones who look with such faith at what God is doing that we're running into the promised land. We're running into the promises. We're running into the mission. We're running into what God has for us, not just tippy-toeing and wanting hundreds of signs. We got to be like Abraham who hears once to leave his city to go to an unknown land. Talk about a calling. Your job is to leave everything you know and to go somewhere where you don't know. That's your calling. Doesn't that the worst when God just says leave, but where? Doesn't matter, just leave. Just start going. This is who we got to become. This is what we have to start taking the word at the word. Some of us have faith in prophetic experiences, but you don't have faith in the word. You keep living, you keep believing. See, your God changes all the time. Your God's changing all the time. He's constantly, he has so many mood swings. Oh man, he doesn't love me. He's mad at me today. He's so angry. He's so angry. It's been 4 weeks since I felt God in worship. What have I done, God? But that's nothing to do with the scripture. Jesus has told you once and for all, written the greatest love letter. You should never have to feel an emotion in your life to know the God of the universe became a man to die for you. To die for you. To die for you. To substitute. To live a life that you could not live. To die a death that none of us qualify to die, so that we could be reconnected to the God of the universe, and we're sitting there on a Tuesday thinking God is mad at us. He's just over there. We're like that. We are like that nightmare boyfriend or girlfriend. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? I spent $200 on dinner last night. You got buying $200. I have $500 in my bank account. You think I did that because I like you? You didn't say today. You didn't say today. We were on the call the other day and you didn't say it three times. You always say it three times. It's like we get so weird. We get so fickle. We got to start taking God at his word. What if you didn't make, literally, what if God's love no longer was a meter? But a constant reality you lived in, and you just decided that you were loved. What if you just decided, I'm loved. I'm loved. It doesn't matter how I feel today, I'm loved. Right now, God totally approves of me. He totally approved of me right now. And the worst thing is that we have so much faith when we talk to others about this. Can we just say it? But we got to have faith when we talk to ourselves. Right? We can't just be the hype man for everybody else and not take it at its word for us. Some of you just need to make the decision. I'm loved by God. And he likes me. And he enjoys me. And he has a great future for me. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he loved me before actually the foundations of the world. That's an interesting ice cream to have at night and think about that. And he loved you while you were still his enemy. So you think that your one mistake has canceled all of his love when he loved you when you were literally his enemy? Right? Apply the word. Everyone say, apply the word. Faith. You need faith. Look at your neighbor and say, you need faith. Okay, I'm going to land the plane. I'm going to land the plane here because I want to end on time here. Are you catching this for a moment? Are you catching this for a moment? So I want to bring up this. This is so interesting. I pulled up a different sermon. I haven't preached this one in a long time. There's a couple notes in here. I just wanted to briefly highlight for a moment. This is a secular thought. We're going to move off of the Bible for a moment. There's something called the five levels of innovation. Isn't that interesting? The five levels of innovation. And the categories are this. There's innovators, early adopters, early majority, late majority, and laggards. So the first is innovators. The second is early adopters. The third is early majority, late majority, and laggards. So think about it like this. How many of you were, how many of you, I don't think all of you are too young. How many of you, when TikTok came out, were like, as soon as it downloaded and you heard about it, you downloaded and started using it? Okay, how many of you, your friends started using it first, and then you jumped on pretty early on, but your friends introduced it to you first? How many of you, right, then there was a pretty good majority of people that were using it, and then you jumped on more during when it was becoming really cool, all the trends were going on, you jumped on TikTok. How many of you jumped on TikTok when everybody's on it, and you realize it wasn't going anywhere, that it's like becoming the new thing, and now you're on TikTok? And how many of you still are like making fun of TikTok and like, that's going away. I don't know ever when I get on that. Okay, so in business, you'd be called a laggard. Meaning that you're slow to adopt to new change. I know that sounds so intense. I'm not trying to rebuke you. I'm just trying to help you understand yourself for a moment, right? It's not bad. There's advantages and disadvantages because some things it's good to be slow to change too. Right? But right now, TikTok is the number one social platform on the earth and has overtaken YouTube. In terms of watch time and the whole thing. So it's now the number one platform in the whole world. But here's the thing. I want to apply this principle to faith for a moment. Some of us will believe when we're the first person, the only person God said something to. And you take it seriously right away. Some of you believe when someone else goes first. But you'll jump in early. You'll be like that second, that third, that fourth, that fifth person in the car. But someone's got to go out to the car, pull it out of the driveway and start and say, who's coming? But you'll jump in the car. Some of you, though, will wait for a while to see how that car does. And you'll go, okay, now I'm going to join the car. Then some of you, so many cars go, you start feeling left out. And so now you get in the car and you're following after. And then some of you are still paralyzed on the sideline wondering if you should get in a car and follow. Faith. We need to be innovators. We need to be pioneers of faith. Not just simply following the wave of where faith is already going. What God is asking in this generation is that we'd be first in the plate with faith. God, what are you saying? Right? We want to be ones who are believing for things that when other people come, and we've been believing here for a long time. Right? How many of you ever met a crazy praying mama somewhere who's been contending for a breakthrough in some unknown neighborhood somewhere? And then that church plant shows up and starts having success. Right? Who is the innovator in this situation? Mama. And then that pastor joins that innovation, and then people start joining. See, don't be ones that play it safe with faith. Be ones that ante up with big risk, because big risk is what changed the world. Little risk may make little adjustments in your personal life, but it won't change the world. You're going to have to take major, major steps of faith if you want to change your community. If you want your university to change, it's not baby steps, it's leaps. It's full on, full sending it, running. It's that Indiana Jones scene with the invisible bridge. Have you guys seen this, right? Yeah. He's on the cliff, he can't see it. He's like trying to get to the other side, and there's this kind of optical illusion bridge, but he can't see it, and he has to just jump, and he jumps, and he lands on the bridge. Some of you, God is just calling you to leap. Yes. And you got to start leaping right now. And it's not just a leap of one time and then saying it doesn't work, because that's some of us. We take a jump out, and then it gets a little bit hard, and we're like, I heard wrong. God, you said I was a preacher, and that went really bad tonight. God, you told me I was a worship leader, and I froze up there. They didn't like my singing. God, you told me I'm going to university. I got denied all five I applied for. God, you told me this, but right? We have all these things that just excuse us from faith. And this is the story I want to end with. It's a story found in the book of Kings, and it's a story about Elijah. And Elijah has been helping this widow. I don't have time to read the whole story, but the context is it's a widow that he has relationship, and he's been a part of their provision storyline. And unfortunately, the son, her one son, gets really sick. And the story picks up here. Elijah says, give me your son. He took him from her arms because the son has died. The son has stopped breathing. And he carried him to the upper room where he was staying. Another upper room. Very interesting. And laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I'm staying with you by causing her son to die? Then he stretched herself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him. Think about doing that. There's a dead child, 13-year-old boy, let's say, and you pray one time, Lord, bring him back from the dead. And you're like, well, I guess it's God's will. And Elijah then gets on the boy again, stretches his arms over the boy and prays one more time, gets up. How many of us, honestly, after two rounds of prayer like that, we'd say, Lord, I guess you just took him. And then he gets on a third time. And on the third time, the boy gets up. On the third time, the boy gets up. See, God is asking us not just to have a faith that goes first. He's not just having a faith that radically trusts him. He's asking for a faith that produces practical persistence. Yeah. Where the expectation is breakthrough. And that obstacles are expected, but it's all part of the plan. When they did go in and take the promised land, it wasn't that they prayed a prayer and everybody left. They had to go in and take the land. They had to do battles, and there was days of easy battle, and there were days of hard battle. There were days where crazy miracles were present, and I'm sure there were days where they just felt like we could lose right now because this battle is going so difficult. But they had a faith in the outcome. See, faith is not magic and wishing. Faith is trusting God. Is trusting a person, namely God, who has created the entire earth and knows all things and sees the future, and then stepping into reality to follow and run after that word, and trusting that no matter what circumstance you run into, what obstacle and what practical thing you need to overcome, is that in the end, you will end up where God said. That is faith. That is the kind of faith that God is asking us to have. Some of us, we will labor for 20 years and then we will see the revival pour out. Some of us will labor for 5 minutes and a revival will pour out. The mysteries of God, it requires faith. One is not better than the other. We all have to step into that attitude of radical faith. So this week, here's my personal challenges. Number one, when God speaks to you, and we're going to do this today, we're going to start praying, doing prophetic ministry for each one of you. You're each going to get two rounds of prophetic ministry during this school. We're very excited about it. When God starts speaking who you are, starts confirming things in your heart, make a decision, I believe. Make a decision, I believe. Get rid of that, prove it. Get rid of that, prove it. Whatever that poverty mindset of the way you think about yourself, get rid of that. What is that? Get rid of that. What is that self-hatred? Get rid of that. You can't have that. Get rid of that. And what makes you think that at 22 years old that you understand all things about yourself? Get rid of that pride and humble yourself before God and say, you made me, you know me. Yeah. You made me, you know me. I just know me who I am right now. Whoa. At this point of my life. But you know my life in entirety. You know who I really am. Let him speak to you and believe him. Number two, when God encounters you and begins to speak about next steps in your life, and some of them are going to come with unction, that's it. You're not going to have some crazy vision. You're not going to be at the altar and God's saying, gather these exact five friends and then you're going to tell them this great speech, and then you're going to start a little club on your campus and start worship nights, and then 100 kids are going to get saved next year. You're going to baptize 60 people in the fountain on your campus. God might not do that. All he may do is just give you an unction like, I need to go back and I need to see people saved. Yeah. And then you need to write down those friends that you're going to do it with in faith. Yeah. That God is with you, because he's already given the great commission. He's already promised that he'll be with you even until the end of the age. He's already promised that you're going to have victory. He's already promised the gospel to have effect. You need to take the Bible at its word and believe that God is going to be with you and going to help you. Some of you need to go to the songwriting moment when you get there and go to it with faith. And just literally shut down the voice of insecurity and say, God, you want to do something powerful in me today. Get rid of your label idea one day. Get rid of the big new hit single for the church. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about worshiping God. Trust, because God worship is about moving God's heart. Right? It's about ministering to God. Ministering to God. not about album sales, not about arenas, not no, it's about Him. So have faith that God can give you a song that moves His heart. When you have a message, it's not about getting the most downloaded podcast and all the fancy insights. Just have faith that God's going to give you a message that's going to impact real people where they are at. It's approaching things with faith and getting out of belief. Can we all stand together? We'll end this morning right here. Are you ready to just get rid of all unbelief out of your life?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
It's a nasty little tiny dog in your life that's chewing your carpet, ruining your Jordans, pooping in the house, peeing in the kitchen, biting the neighbor, right? It's just, you got to get rid of it. It's doing nothing for you. It gives you a false sense of comfort. Some of you got to trade in that false sense of comfort for real fulfillment. Because unbelief is not going to fulfill you. You got to burn the boats. You got to burn the bridges to your old life. And you got to rumble into your future full of faith. Are you ready to pray with me? Let's all pray together. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Come on, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I come before you.
Full of faith.
Full of faith.
Jesus.
Baptize me. With your faith.
Jesus.
Mark me.
With your faith.
I ask forgiveness.
For every attitude
of unbelief.
Fill me
with your faith.
I hate unbelief.
Jesus,
burn out
all unbelief. Are some of you stubborn ever? I'm really a stubborn person. Let's do this. In Jesus' name,
forgive me
for being stubborn.
In my unbelief.
For having faith about everybody else.
About what you're doing everywhere else.
But being stubborn.
In unbelief.
About my life.
About my relationship with you.
About my calling.
I ban.
All.
Unbelief.
Stubbornness.
Slowness to believe.
Jesus, I believe
that my future
is full of hope.
That my future
is full of abundant life.
Abundant in purpose.
Overflowing with your presence.
Overflowing in impact.
Overflowing with meaning.
With real relationships.
Healthy family.
Healthy community.
Why don't you pray with me?
In Jesus' name.
Help my unbelief.
Every way.
I'm trying so hard to believe.
And I just can't get there.
Help me get there, Lord.
Help me see different.
I give you permission
to help me see different.
Lord, change my paradigm.
Change how I see.
Change how I hear from you.
Change how I hear from others.
So here it is. This is our last prayer. We all have to be willing to let go of old mindsets. Are you ready to let go of an old mindset? Literally, a whole way of thinking. Like, are you ready to come to the realization that maybe some of your entire ways of believing are wrong? And they served you for the last 10 years, but they won't serve you the next. They got you here, but they won't take you where you need to go. And you got to leave them behind. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Jesus, I give you permission.
To rip out
every way
that I do not align.
And thinking like you think.
And seeing like you see.
Rip out.
Old mindsets.
Old paradigms.
Align me.
In your truth. You don't need to prove it.
I believe you.
I believe you.
I believe you.
Come on. So Lord, we just seal this moment right now in Jesus' name. I ask for an impartation of faith right now all across this room. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would increase, Lord, the gift of faith from day one in each of our hearts, Lord. Lord, we just ask for your anointing to flow, for your spirit to flow, and for your glory to be present in this school. I just sense the Lord saying that some of you are just so hungry that you've come for something from God. Lord, we pray that you would feed us, God. Lord, that you would pour out what we are asking for, that you would do more than we can ask or imagine. God, we ask for your increase of your spirit. Lord, we ask for a new faith to walk in love. God, we ask for a new faith to walk in approval. We ask for faith to leave the performance mindset. We ask for faith, Lord, to leave the dread of the future. I just feel that some of you have been treated one way for so long, you can't even imagine being treated in a different way. You got to have faith that the future is not the past. There is a day when things change. There is a day where you lead the fight into victory. You got to be willing to let God say today is the day with no proof and just believe that today is the day. Some of you have been diminished. I just see a picture of people just speaking such harsh words over you. You got to let that go. That's not about your future. Lord, we cancel out those words right now. I just see some of you, the picture I see is some of your friends have just walked away along the process. But you're here. You're here and you're holding on. You're here. God's going to meet you. God's going to meet you. We pray and bless those people, Lord. But Lord, we pray here, Lord. Their story is not your story. Some of you need to understand your parents' story is not your story. Your sibling story is not your story. Your community story is not your story. Let God write that story in your heart. Let God write that story in your heart. Lord, I pray every blockade of pain keeping us from believing. Lord, every way that we're just, the picture I see is like a shell. It's like a shell around you. You're so afraid of believing because you don't want to get hurt. Lord, we just pray that that shell would fall off of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. This is so direct. I'm going to say this, though, for somebody. Jesus is not like your dad. Jesus is not like that authority figure. Jesus is not a controlling pastor. Jesus is not a controlling spiritual authority. You can trust Jesus with your whole heart. You can trust Jesus with your whole heart. We're broken down here, but Jesus is perfect. His ways are perfect. You can trust him. Jesus, we pray for restoration of trust, a healing of trust, Lord, to be poured out in this room in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray every way. I'm just going to say something that's a bit direct. Lord, we pray that every way that there's been experiences of real racism, Lord, things that have been said verbally, real actions taken, not just in the mind, but actually expressed out loud in public places. God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I just see that spirit with that just wants to make you feel like an outsider. I literally see like a picture. It's like a constant wondering what's going on in someone's mind. Lord, just every way there's just a continual lack of safety, Lord, of just being able to be and being able to be really seen and really understood and really valued. We pray that be broken off right now in Jesus' mighty name. I rebuke in the name of Jesus every accusing spirit that want to stop us from an impartation of faith during this school in the name of Jesus. I ask right now that all trauma, Lord, that you would powerfully deal with it by your spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to flow for a few more moments here. Lord, we pray that every one of us, Lord, I just see a picture of just a real instance of trauma. And I feel like it became the center point of your story. And the Lord no longer wants that traumatic thing to be the center point of your story. Your parents' divorce is not the centerpiece of your story. That thing that happened to you when you were a kid is not the centerpiece of your story. That thing that you did and you regret is not the centerpiece of your story. God has been at the center of your story. He's going to redeem those things. Holy Spirit, right now. Every way, Lord, that trauma has tried to rewrite our story. and steal our faith. Lord, we break the power, Lord, of every way the enemy wants to come in through trauma to deceive us. We break and sever that right now in the name of Jesus. I feel this so strong. Some of you are so afraid of repeating your generational patterns. You need to get rid of that fear right now. We're getting rid of it from the get-go today. God's forming a new story in your generations. You got to get... Oh, I literally hear a line in my head. You're going to be just like your sister. Just all these lines. You're going to be just like this person. It's just going to be another repeat moment. We're getting rid of that right now. Pray that in Jesus' name. Come on, in Jesus' name. My story is my story. It's not somebody else's story. Forgive me for fear that I'm going to get taken out like my generations in Jesus' name. Come on, just put your hand in your heart. Just put your hand in your heart. Holy Spirit, right now, just bring healing over our hearts. Just bring healing over our hearts. So I'm just getting pictures. I'm just going to keep sharing. I just think freedom is going to break out of this directness. I just see some of you have looked at so much pornography. You live in a consistent place of being disqualified. And God wants to liberate you from that addiction and also liberate you from that kind of, I'm not really qualified to play. God can heal you of that addiction. God can heal your view of women, heal your view of men. Some of you, there's just a continual inner battle with sexual brokenness. And God wants to bring restoration in your life. And he's not calling you to live on the sidelines. He's asking you to take back faith. You got to get out of that disqualified mindset of just waiting. You get in. God wants to help you. Jump in. God wants to help you. Lord, we ask right now, every way we feel disqualified and continually don't grab a hold of faith because we don't believe we're worthy of it. We get rid of that right now in Jesus' name. Lord, you can heal and forgive all sexual brokenness. Lord, you can heal abuse. You can forgive the abuser. Lord, you can do all things. Lord, all things are in your power. Holy Spirit, we ask, Lord, that wherever we're at, Lord, in our journey, Lord, would you pour out your anointing and your spirit? Would your healing oil touch their inner life, Lord, in Jesus' name, and prepare their hearts to have faith. Thank you, Jesus. Last one here. I really hear the Lord say this is the last one. Listen, this is so funny. It's not funny, though. Some of you have had horrible relationships. Horrible relationships. Dating relationships. They were just gnarly in every way. Lord, we pray right now that every lie that has come through a dysfunctional relationship, a manipulative relationship, abusive relationships, dehumanizing relationships. Some of the women in here, you got to get that dehumanizing attitude that was thrust upon you. Throw that off you this morning. Throw that off you this morning. God's calling you to the forefront. Lord, we break and sever that dehumanizing voice that just says you're less than. Lord, I just heard the Lord say, it's not supposed to be a battle. It's not supposed to be a battle every day. Lord, we break off every warring demonic spirit, Lord, that wants to make it a battle every day to believe our worth. We break and sever that right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Get off. Get off right now in Jesus' name. I rebuke every chauvinistic spirit that tried to lie to you to tell you have no value. You get out of here in Jesus' name. You have no place at a Circuit Rider school. You have no place in someone's life. Holy Spirit, we pray for an alignment of the way that you see us, Lord. An alignment in the way that you see us in Jesus' mighty name. So Holy Spirit, pour out faith this morning. Lord, faith for all kinds of callings. Faith for business, God. Faith for the marketplace. Holy Spirit, pour it out during this school, Lord. Faith for international missions. Pour it out in this school. Faith for the local church. Pour it out in this school. Faith for universities. Faith for high schools. Faith for new sounds. Faith for creativity. Faith for storytelling, Lord. Faith for short films, God. Faith for films. Faith for videos. Faith for YouTube. Faith for TikTok and Instagram, God. Faith for our neighborhoods, God. Faith for our cities. God, we ask that you would be an overflow of faith. In Jesus' mighty name, Holy Spirit. So Lord, we just pray that the rest of the day, as we just keep going, Lord, just keep Lord, dealing with our hearts, aligning our hearts to your heart. Let us see us like you see us, Lord. We want to see it, Jesus. We want to see it. Lord, heal every barrier, Lord, that's keeping us, Lord, away from your highest and your fullness and your purpose. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Amen, amen. Man, let's go. Session one, we just decided to have like the culminating session as session one. That shows you where we're going today. This is amazing.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.